Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Who's Got the Cheese Touch? My name's Adam.
And I'm Rowley.
Are you the Rowley in this friendship?
See, whenever, like, there's, like, two friends and we're like, that's you and that's, like, this is us, I feel like it just kind of, like, alternates. Like, I feel like we're, like, we alternate who is Greg and who is Rowley depending on, like, what movie we're covering and, like, what, like, yeah, what the vibe is of the pod.
Yeah, I think that's an apt, that's accurate, I think. Because I think there are days where you're a little bit Rowley, but there are days where you're a little bit Greg. And I often feel like Rowley, but some days you go into church with a dookie stain on your pants. And you feel like Greg. So, you know, it's, you know, it varies on the day.
Yeah.
We cover the original Diary Won't Be Kid.
I think I know why you picked this week, Adam. So it's been a very long hiatus. I apologize for that. Been super busy. So Adam and I decided, okay, this is the week. And I know exactly why you picked this. Because this past weekend was Coachella week one. And the kid who played Greg
and Loaded Diaper was on stage at Coachella.
The kid who played Greg took a picture with the girl who played Holly.
Mm-hmm. Peyton List, which, where do I know her from again, other than this movie?
Disney Channel, no? So familiar.
That's what Victoria said, but I'm like, it's not like I was watching Disney Channel, like, at this time. So, like, that's what I'm confused about. Like, what do I know her from?
She was in 27 Dresses.
Oh, I know what it is. It's Cobra Kai. I do watch Cobra Kai. So that is like one component of that. So honestly, out of every movie that we've covered recently, this movie has been on the, like, top of my, we need to do this, like, soon. Because honestly, the only reason I did the first movie back when we did the first movie was to get us closer to doing this movie. and then we just never did it for a while. And Kira's a great co-host. She never cancels on me. But one time she did cancel on me was after I had already watched this movie when we planned to do this, like, 2 years ago. And, you know, that was fun. It was like, I think you were, like, actually, like, on your deathbed. So it was completely...
I think that was when I ate the brisket at Legoland.
I think...
And I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
No, don't ever eat brisket at Legoland, guys.
No, I was, like... So it was not even, like, a thing where I was upset about it. Because, like, you were, like, seriously, like, dying. But but I did fully watch the movie already. So, like, that also had, like, a thing in the back of my mind. Like, oh, we really need to cover that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we're here, because this is a lot. This is like The Empire Strikes Back. This is like The Godfather Part 2 of the Wimpy Kid franchise. This is like the quintessential Wimpy Kid movie. Even the book is like the best one out of like the four that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, so yeah, like, I, like, you know, seeing the Coachella pictures did kind of spark a little bit of something in me, but, like, I was genuinely already planning it, and that just, like, confirmed it. But also just, like, for example, like, Olivia Rodrigo's on her Guts tour right now. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing all these TikToks of people, like, playing the, like, Don't Come By My House, we're done scene at the concert as Driver License starts to play, like, in front of them.
Oh, because of that, like, fan cam. Yeah. Yeah. That's really funny.
So, yeah, it's Wimpy Kid's on the forefront of my brain. Always, but especially lately.
It's very funny because I feel like I've been on social media less, like, personally, just because I'm on social media all day long for work. And I feel like I'm missing out on so many, like, Zillennial, like, memes.
Right.
And so many, like, Zillennial, like, things. Because I had no idea that this was back in the zeitgeist.
I mean, I don't know if it's actually really back in the zeitgeist. I think it's just I think it's just me. I mean, because I think Diary of a Wimpy Kid really, just not even this movie, but like as a whole, really hit me at a very like great time in my life. Like I was starting middle school right when the first movie came out. Like the first movie came out in 2010, like early 2010. I started middle school like fall 2009. So like when he was going to sixth grade, I was going to sixth grade. So like I was like when this movie came out, he was going to seventh grade, I was going to seventh grade. Like so these movies hit like exactly at the time in my life of like when the characters took place. Mm-hmm. I will say, I don't think I saw the first movie in theaters, but I do remember seeing this one in theaters because I just made it a priority. Like we stopped what we were doing. We went to the theater. I had honestly like a really great time with this movie. The first time I saw it, I thought it was so funny. I saw it with like two or three friends and we were all like cracking up the entire movie. I remember it was like one of the only movies or one of the first movies at that time that like my mom just fully like let me and my friends like without like a parent at all in the vicinity, just like fully go by ourselves too.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just like having a great time with it. And, you know, I've always like liked this movie even before the memes, but then the memes of this movie took it to like another level. Like it made it have like a second life, almost like B movie-esque. Mm-hmm. Like the I couldn't stop thinking about it, but like in the party montage when it's like all the pictures they took, I can't watch that scene and not think of the "so what we get drunk" like the edit from Twitter. Like I can't separate any of that stuff from watching this movie. And to the point of where like every time I watch this movie, and yes, I've seen it multiple times, it's just like it's a blast every time I watch it. I love it.
Yeah, these movies. Okay, so I was thinking about it when you were talking. I was kind of zoning out and I was thinking, so who is Rowley and who's Greg? Like when you were like saying how like the movies came out at like the right time for you, part of me like really does relate to Greg because I realized like I'm also a middle child. And so is Holly, and they bond over that. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. That's me.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of, I think what's so good about these is that it really just captures the energy of being a middle child. And I feel like I didn't realize that until just now.
Yeah. I mean, I think this movie, especially like more than the first one, like dives into that more because I think the first one is more concerned with like the everyday, like the starting middle school, the, you know, like getting through the like first year of middle school. Like it's very school centric, which this one is too, but this one has, I think, more of the family component in it, which I think really works to its favor because like, yeah, all the Roderick stuff is perfect, but even like everything with like Manny, like, it's so funny. Like every time, he does something to fuck over Greg, he's just like, "I'm only three." It's great. Great, stupid ass face on that baby. Like it just great, like dumb little face for Manny. Cause you look at the Manny drawing is just like, it's the dumbest face you've ever seen.
I gotta say the one thing that just does not work for me at all in the movies is Manny, simply because when I see him, I think about how genius the drawing of him is. And I'm like, no human being could ever capture what that drawing, like what the illustrated Manny looks like.
It's so funny. I mean, like, I remember, like, I think the funniest, probably like top five funniest things I've ever tweeted was just the picture of that and just like, I need to smoke weed with this bitch. Like, I do want a tattoo of him. I don't know where I'd put it, but I just want a little Manny tattoo.
On the ankle or something.
Yeah, like somewhere, like just maybe hidden, like, you know, maybe like a little Manny tramp stamp, who knows. But Yeah, I agree. I mean, because that stupid ass little fuck ass drawing with the buck teeth is like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I do think this kid is like, in both movies, he just has such a perfect dumb little face that every time he gets away with something, it's like, fuck, like this is Manny. This is totally Manny. And I do like the way that this movie like incorporates like the drawings and illustrations like into the movie as well. Mm-hmm. And this movie actually does it more than the first movie, if I'm not mistaken. Like, because the first movie, if I'm remembering correctly, like it only like opens that way and closes that way. But this movie like kind of illustrates like the chapters of the book like as they're happening. And like kind of animations are happening around them a little bit, which I like. It's a little, not a huge increase in that or anything, but just, you know, a little bit more to make it interesting. But I think the reason why I like this one so much, like even more than the first one, is that I genuinely think like every comedic moment of this movie and every situation they get themselves into is like actually very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And for a, like a family comedy, this is like, and this could sound very basic, but it's like actually good. Like I there's so many movies like this, and trust us, we would know because we've covered a lot of them that are like bad, and this is like actually funny and actually enjoyable and actually like well written, and the cast works well together. I believe that they're a family. There are just like so many shockingly good components of this movie that I cannot believe they made a good like live action Wimpy Kid movie, let alone two of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely, like, the family dynamic adds, like, most of it to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think because they feel like a real, like, messy family.
Yeah.
And I think also just because the original books are so well written, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there are so many tropes in them that are just so real, like the whole thing with the fucking lock on the door, and like even just down to like the characters in it, like how what's her name, Patty.
Oh, Patty.
How she's yeah. just like some bitch that like he's known since he was like a baby.
Yeah.
And then like I don't know, just like random details, and even like the cheese touch and stuff. It's like they have these like out there things that are like, oh no, that's something that like would happen in like a middle school, like an elementary school. Like we believed that there was like a person living in the sewer grates in our on yeah. the blacktop. Like the cheese touch could literally be a thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, I know that when this movie was coming out, like, or like when the first one came out, like kids at my school tried to make the cheese touch a thing because mm-hmm. of this movie. Like they would like purposefully get like a nasty piece of cheese and try to like infect people, and that's pretty fucked up in hindsight, so thanks Justin. But I think but yeah, no, like I agree, like the family dynamic is really good here, and I did like, I liked, you know, all that stuff in the first movie, but like I think here, like Steve Zahn and is it Rachel Harris? Is she the one who plays the mom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rachel Harris. They're both really good in this movie. Like
Steve Zahn is a comedian. He's the funniest person ever.
He's super funny in this movie. There are like just so so many like little line deliveries between the two of them that it's just so perfect. And I agree with like the lock bit, because I thought that was like such a funny running joke that I forgot, because in my head I thought that it like resolved in like one scene, but like it very wisely plays out for like most of the movie. And I love the idea that like how Roderick's entire motive is just gaslight her, like mm-hmm. just have to gaslight our mom into believing that there was never a lock on the door. Like that scene where he's like convinced, she's like, it's my only way to have privacy. I've lived in this house for 10 years. I know mm-hmm. there's a lock on the door. And he's like, well, no, because like Greg has walked in on me for the past 10 years and I would have used that lock. And like, it's a perfect moment. And
yeah,
Yeah, it's so good. And like, speaking of Roderick, like, what's his name? Devin Bostick.
From Oppenheimer.
From of Oppenheimer fame. Dude, a lot's been said about Roderick. You know, this is his portrayal of him. And I still don't even know if he has actual, like, if it's been just a skimming for him, because he's so fucking good in this. He's like a great actor, and he is so effortlessly funny in this movie. Just like very like deadpan delivery that fully pays off. I love it.
I think the thing about like what you said about him like gaslighting, I think also that adds to like the middle child, older child like dynamic, because it's like literally Greg's whole thing is that he has to like take the, not like abuse is a very strong word, like take the bullshit of the older sibling and also just like keep all his secrets out of fear.
Yeah.
And like try and keep the family like balanced and normal. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like trying to like maintain chaos by like keeping everyone's secrets and being like, nobody can know this. Nobody can know this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, it's really like, I mean, I'm not a middle child, so I can't really speak to that, but like, I think it does like nail like how it just nails like family dynamics in a really interesting way. And I mean, it does have a lot to credit that with the book, because I think the books like plural, like, I mean, I don't remember how many of them I've read. I mean, I definitely stopped at a certain point just because I, you know, by high school, I just couldn't read them anymore. But I think I read at least like 4 or 5 of them, and they all were like equally funny and like insightful and like just kind of perfect. I remember the first one came out when I was like in 4th or 5th grade, and it was like, I mean, I can't even compare what it was like for like a child to receive that for the first time. Like I can only imagine what it was like for like the transition from like talkies, or from sound films to talkies, like it's just like mind-blowing to you.
That's the equivalent to you.
It really is, because it's just like your entire like perspective on literature changes when you receive Diary of a Wimpy Kid for the first time. You're like, wait, books can like just be stupid as fuck and I can just
still be really good.
But like, what? Well, it's like, because it's like, wait, I thought I had to like read like just like random shit that I'm barely interested in during independent reading time. You're telling me I can like laugh and read stupid shit like this? Are you kidding me? It's so good. Yeah, and again though, like I think why this one is so good is because every like single scene is so perfect. Like the opening at the roller rink is so good because it perfectly taps into that, like, the thing that made the first movie so good is like it just perfectly understands the anxiety and like general discomfort of being at the age of Greg. And it just taps into the like the anxiety of like having a crush on somebody, but not, kind of like not wanting to make a move, but also kind of wanting to make a move. And of course, just having your family in the background potentially going to fuck it up at any given moment. Like not even just Roderick. Like Manny, his mom and dad, like anyone could fuck it up at any moment, and he has to get as far away from them as possible. Like it genuinely feels like a ticking time bomb, that opening scene. And like by the time it gets to the point where, you know, she has to like call on him in the middle of the crowd, it's like the worst case scenario, and it's like the perfect opener for the movie, because the whole movie is just full of moments like that that are just like earth-shattering moments for Greg. As it should be.
I think also, like, I literally love in movies so much. I don't know, this is literally just Diary of a Wimpy Kid, but I love in movies when the opening credits start, like, 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And this has, like, a perfect, like, cold open.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, it is perfect, like, because it is like it's the perfect kind of scene that just gets you reaccustomed, like, with the family dynamic. And I love, like, how it starts animated and they're like walking as the animated figures, but then they get like drawn to life almost, which I thought was clever. But like, again, even like right after that, when it first like kicks into it, you know, everything with I'm trying to remember like what happens after that. Like they there's like the mom bucks bit, which is so funny because like whether or not your mom did mom bucks, every mom has like tried to incentivize their child to like just act fucking normal with some kind of like financials. Like they've always bribed their child. And I think that's like such a funny thing to do in this movie. And like Roger trying to cash out immediately at $5, it's just like it's so on point. Something I do like about these movies, but I will contradict it here, is that I do like that they're not very dated. They do feel kind of timeless, but it is also funny when like it does break that a little bit because I lost my shit when Rowley was singing TikTok by Kesha. It's so stupid. Which again, we like, as we know, we're saying that every like person the Heffley family is great in this movie. The kid who plays Rowley is just, this kid needs an Oscar. He needs like an honorary Oscar.
Yeah, his performance is a lot of fun. Honestly, one of the most iconic of our generation. I would say even more than Greg, probably.
Yeah, I mean, Rowley is just like, it's the same thing as like Gibby to iCarly, I would say. Like Gibby is more iconic than
More
iCarly.
nuanced, though.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I think with Rowley, he's like kind of like a, he's like Icarus. He just flies a little too close to the sun sometimes, but he's like, he's just such a beautifully tragic character. I also like the dad, his Rowley's dad in this movie. He does such great face acting because he has to pick him up from like the sleepover like five different times in the movie, and he says no words. He just has like visible anger towards Greg in every sequence, and it's so perfect. I liked that moment, or like that scene where they watch like the fake scary movie, and the movie like changes like aspect ratio in that moment to like, it basically plays like a short horror film, and
Yeah, that was like amazing, like the fake 70s horror movie.
it's so cool. Like, I think that's also part of why I like this movie. It feels more like a movie than the first one, which again, I do like the first movie, but this is just like, it feels actually, dare I say, cinematic at times. Like, it feels like they actually took advantage of their budget and the fact that they could, you know, do something different. It's directed by David Bowers, who, oh my God, he directed Flushed Away, if you can believe it. Flushed Away, Astro Boy, which I've actually never seen. Roderick Rules, and then he did the next two movies after this, but then he never directed a movie after that. Yeah, but he started working doing he was an animator for Fern Gully and An American Tale. And he was a storyboard artist. The first thing I can see on his career is that he was a storyboard artist for Who Framed.
Makes sense. I
That's
don't
really
know why
cool.
that makes a lot of sense. I think because it's like the animated live action hybrid kind of thing, and like
Yeah.
this movie captures live action
So his
animated,
career?
if that makes sense.
No, it does. It definitely does. I mean, his career is kind of interesting because he did that in 88, and then he did Balto after that. But then after that, I think he got hired by DreamWorks because he did Prince of Egypt, El Dorado, Chicken Run, Shark Tale, and Wallace and Gromit, all for storyboarding. And then after that, I guess like a year after Wallace and Gromit, he got hired to direct Flushed Away. And that's what got him on directing stuff. So that's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool like trajectory of a career. And let's see. Yeah, so I think he definitely does a good job with these movies. He is like, has a genuine like kind of a keen eye with like you know, incorporating the animated elements and all the like wacky stuff to where even though it is live action, like so much of the situations like feel animated.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like it's too, you know, bogged down by reality. Like everything does still feel kind of fantastical, which I admire. Like every situation that they get themselves into in this movie is just like, even something as simple as like when he gets to the classroom for the first time and he's like fighting with Patty over mm-hmm. like the seat, and the teacher like realizes that he's Roderick's brother. It's just like that is something that would happen in real life, but the way the movie like kind of animates it is just so funny and like I don't know. It's just like I love it. Like every scene just has that kind of like edge. Mm-hmm. And discomfort to it that I like really enjoy. I honestly, like, upon rewatching it, I wasn't sure if I was just like remembering it being good because of the memes or if it was actually a good movie. But every scene has like a great comedic energy to it, and I don't think it's just memes. I think this is actually a good movie.
I think it is too. I definitely like really enjoyed watching it. I really enjoyed the first one. I think that these are just, like, really refreshing. Like this is completely, like, you could barely compare them. But you and I both saw the Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man last night in theaters.
I did.
Sean and I were talking on the way home, and he was saying how, what did we recently rewatch? I don't remember, but we recently rewatched something else, and he was saying, like, it's great to, like, watch something, which, like, everyone knows that the Sam Raimi Spider-Man is, like, the best movie ever made, but it's great, like, watching something that, like, you thought was good when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And then, like, you rewatch it, and you're like, oh, it's actually really good. Like, it's actually, like, a very good movie. Like, I kind of feel that way about these movies.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it, to lower stakes, of course, but yeah, like, I do feel very, like, vindicated, like, that it's actually, like, good, that people have, like, actual fond memories with it, and that it's not just kind of something stupid. Because, I mean, I have so many movies that I liked around this time period that, like, absolutely would not hold up if we mm-hmm. tried to, like, re-examine them. So it is nice that, like, one of the more, like, formative and, like, just like involving movies of my childhood, because I like truly like in the, as far as like middle school zeitgeist goes, like it's hard to really think of one that was as incorporated in the day-to-day school life as this movie was.
Yeah,
like everyone saw the like these movies when I was in middle school. Everyone quoted these movies. Everyone had the books. Like you go to the pub, you go to the your school
Scholastic
library.
Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah, the Scholastic Book Fair. But also
that's
like
what I associate these with is the Scholastic Book Fair.
Well, I also like think about like when I would go to like my school's library, mm-hmm. and they would either have. I remember like in sixth grade, every single copy was sold out with like weeks wait, or in like seventh or eighth grade, they were there, but only because that summer they had bought like 30 copies of each. Mm-hmm. And even then they were like running low each time. So like, and also like, I also like remember every time I'd go into like a Barnes and Noble or a Borders around this mm-hmm. time, and like a new one was coming out, they would have like a huge section like devoted to it. I think it's like the fourth or the fifth one, whichever one is the one where they go on a road trip. But I remember like when I walked into either Barnes and Noble or Borders, I couldn't tell you which one it was, but I remember like the display for it was like the Heffley van, and all the books were like parked in the trunk.
I feel like I remember this.
Yeah, like it's just very like ingrained in my head, and I remember there's like a little standee where you could like take a picture next to like the animated Greg. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I just remember like there everything was such a big deal about these books back in the day. And I think, is he still writing them? I'm actually not sure.
I think he, like, wrote the last one. like they'll, in the past few years.
There's one coming out this October.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, there's 19 books as of now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What grade is this bitch in?
Well, so the one that's coming out this year is called Diary of a Wimpy Kid Hot Mess.
Oh. Is it about Manny?
I hope so.
Manny's probably in high school by now, let's be honest.
Okay, as of the 18th book, he is still in middle school. I have no clue how that's possible.
I love that.
It's like The Simpsons, I guess. Like, they just never...
Yeah, true.
He never ages.
I didn't realize that this movie is actually adapted from Roger Gruhl's and also The Last Straw, the third book in the series.
Yeah.
I think, like, the second half of the movie is adapted from that. Like, because on the cover it has him in the underwear. I'm assuming that's, like, the retirement home scene.
I was about to say that, but I wasn't sure if I was correct about that. I guess my memory is actually better than I think it is when it comes to these books. Yeah, I do remember the underwear thing, because I know the third... I'm reading it now. It says the third book, he goes to, like, he intends to send him to military school, which mm-hmm. I think is funny. But I do get the notion that you wouldn't want to base an entire, like... movie off of that, because I think it is a little bit like cruel for like a whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, in the third book, I think that's like the inciting incident, which is why, because I was telling Victoria while we were watching this one, I was like, I remember, or I thought I remembered the streaker thing being yeah. like the opening of this movie, but I think it's because it's actually the opening of the third book that I think that. So unless I'm completely wrong about that, I think that's why I remember it. But I definitely read the third book, because I'm looking at it all now. I definitely read Dog Days. I read The Ugly Truth, which is the fifth one, and I remember reading Cabin Fever. But I don't, and this makes sense. So I think I stopped at six, because the seventh one came out the year I started high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would make sense for me to stop reading it there, like I think. Because I think I read Cabin Fever, and then in 2012, the third movie came out, which I did see that summer. But then after that, I kind of like fell off, because I never saw the reboot that they did, with, what was it? Dog Days or no, it was the Long Haul. I think it was called, never saw that one. They recasted everybody.
Yeah. Dog Days was the third one.
Yeah, I saw Dog Days.
Yeah, everyone was in that one, right?
Yeah, that was basically just like the finale for that family.
Yeah,
it was like their end game.
Yeah, the Long Haul was the new one.
Yeah, the Long Haul. I never saw, because I remember seeing the trailer for it, and well, my first instinct was just that it looked bad, but my next instinct was like, and I don't care to find out if that's true or not, because I'm I can rewatch the old ones, but I think I'm done with watching any new ones.
Yeah, well, the animated ones, I saw the first one and it was really cute. It's just a like word for word animation, like adaptation from the book.
Right. I tried watching it. I thought there was nothing wrong with it at all. It was completely cute. Mm-hmm. I think I just like, I think that was exactly it. Like, I just couldn't, I think I lost interest because it was just exactly that. And I think that proved to me why I like the movies, is because they do have a little bit of like added stuff in there, but mm-hmm. I think that actually like works in its favor. But yeah, not to take away from, you know, what they're doing with those animated movies, because it all seems cute, and if it's getting more people into it, then, or kids into it, then, like, mm-hmm. it's awesome. But yeah, like, that's something I like about these movies, is that they add in stuff that typically would feel annoying, but I think if you're making a feature-length thing, like a feature-length film about, like, like little cartoon drawings, you kind of have to, and every like thing they add into this movie is like super funny. Like I don't know how much that chocolate at the church is added in. Like, I genuinely cannot remember.
That was so fucking funny.
It's so
literally just like the shot of like Steve Zahn just like aggressively like wiping his ass, and Greg is just like sorry, my microphone just fell off. It just made a lot of noise. Yeah, that was a great
scene. It's so fucking funny, and he's just like, he's like, Dad, I think you got it. Hold still. Yeah, it's so perfect. And that's such a, like, another weirdly accurate thing is, like, something objectively terrible happens, and your mom is still like, well, we can't miss church.
Yeah.
Like, like yeah. It's so on point. I
love that these movies, like, yes, there's kind of a plot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, a collection of vignettes of a kid just getting so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Just, like, the most embarrassing moments of a middle schooler's life.
Yeah, I mean, so this one, like, barely has, like, the thing with, like, you know, the impending talent show, and also, like, you know, Susan trying to get them to get along. So, like, those things are at play, but, like, largely those are just, like, deciding factors to, you know, have inciting incidents happen throughout, which I appreciate, because I think that's what a lot of the best kind of movies do. And that's something I really love about this movie, is that it, like you said, it's just like little vignettes, and it's, that's something that the first movie did extremely well, I think, is just like have the, it, I think that's something we specifically talked about in the first movie, was that it's just like every situation is just so like perfect, and then like it just makes the movie flow like seamlessly together. And this one feels like even bigger and more massive, but like in a good way, where each like comedic thing has like more stakes, and it's even more embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like in this one, it starts off like more optimistically, like he's actually like excited to start school, he's not as anxious as he once was.
Mm-hmm.
But then it immediately kind of like goes to shit for him, like the second it starts. Like I thought, like, another, like, very on-point thing about this movie is, like, everything with Greg and Chirag, who, with, like, pretending that he does not exist,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, so funny, because that is absolutely something that, like, I would do, or, like, that kids would do in my middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, pretending that a kid is just fully not there. It's just like little cruel things that kids do to each other. It's just like this movie understands that so well, but like in a way that like it doesn't feel malicious to kids. Like it just feels like, dude, like fuck this guy. I don't want to hear from him anymore. Let me shut him up.
Yeah.
And this is how they deal with it. It's so fucking funny. I'm trying to think. Like also like just the whole like going back to like the TikTok thing, like the trying to use that like. They've been like internet clout and trying to like monetize themselves is just like super funny.
Yeah, and they do it in a way that doesn't feel like dated. Like I feel like it's very easy for like movies to include like oh, like this is gonna go viral.
Yeah,
but like I feel like this is just in such like a realistic way. Like it just, it's such like a time capsule. I feel like it like reminds me of me and my friends being like, yeah, we're gonna like make a music video and like so many people are gonna see it on YouTube and it's just like nobody watches it and it's just lost to time.
Yeah.
I think that's so funny.
Yeah, I think the I agree. Like I don't mind when movies feel like a little bit dated because I like having a little bit, because it's something like I want something from the 90s. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do I want like relentless product placement every 5 seconds? No, but like it, I still do like feeling like remnants of like when a thing was made or takes place because it helps me feel more like involved with the like mood around them. And I think that is something that's very charming about these movies because like if you couldn't really do it the same way today. Like there's just something about the early 2010s that'll let these movies be kind of earnest and like just simple. And like, these are just things that would have made like $50-70 million at the box office back then. Like, I don't know if they would still open to that anymore. I don't think they would, honestly. No. So like, this is just like, I don't know. It's just so nice. Like, it just feels like a great, like, I don't know, like right after like the movement from like film to digital in cinema, and it just like feels like perfectly digital, so it feels like more modern, but it is like literally 13 years ago now though, so it just, I don't know, it's perfect. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page because there's so many like little vignettes in this that are like, I don't want to like forget any of them, but like after the Dookie incident and they like start fighting, they like force them to like stay together while they go on the water park trip, which is where the like party comes in. And I love the moment where they like lock Greg in the basement, and he has to like basically trick Roderick and his mom into like getting on the phone call and saying like, you know, telling him like, yo, if you fuck me over, or if you don't let me out, I'm gonna tell her everything. And that's when the kind of mutual agreement between the two of them kicks in, and it's like, that's kind of the heart of the movie, is just them like learning to tolerate each other, which I think is like really endearing in this movie, and it's something that like is not overplayed. It feels actually very realistic, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, just their relationship.
It's like a, an alliance. They don't like each other. It's just an alliance.
Well, I think the most, like, endearing aspect of it is that Roderick is, because after they, you know, the party happens and the dust kind of settles from everything, and they think they've pretty much gotten away with it aside from the lock situation. Like, Greg keeps like coming to Roderick with like advice, or like asking for advice about things, and every time Roderick gives the advice, it goes terribly, but Greg continually comes back to him, and you're not really sure if it's because like, does he actually genuinely believe it'll work this time, or does he just kind of like deep down want to like engage with his brother, which I think is like very sweet. Even though they have so many like differences, like you can see that he actually really loves Roderick. It's just like hard to like admit that without getting like fucking punched in the gut over it, you know. And it's like, I don't know, I think that's like something that's really like sincere about these movies, especially this one. It's just that, like, even by the end when it, you know, ties up their relationship in this movie, I think it's not overplayed or anything. It's kind of just nice, you know, they don't overdo it.
Yeah. I can't remember what I was gonna say. I was gonna say it about the party scene. Oh no, I was gonna say it about the door. I love that, like, that's where they got the title from. It's just some random thing that somebody, like, wrote on their bathroom door during the party.
Yeah.
That's, like, so funny and, like, charming to me. That's the kind of thing where it's, like, if I was in a theater, I'd, like, point to the screen and be like, oh.
It's a perfect double entendre, because it's, like, it's that, but it's also, like,
he's giving his rules to Greg. He's giving his
rules, yeah. Like, it's perfect.
just something I was thinking about a lot.
Like, another like little thing that I love is that the entire thing with Roger getting ready for the talent show, and he's hiring that one like lead for the band who's like 37 or something, and he has him come to dinner with his family, and he's, and Frank is like, yeah, like, why don't you explain to Roderick how much of a loser you are, so he can like not want to do this. And then he's like, yeah, you know, it really would suck, because you like have to give up homemade food and a steady like roof to live under for like hooking up with hot women and like eating pizza and drinking soda every day. And it's just like, and like Frank's like reaction to that is so fucking funny, the way he like, he sees the situation slipping underneath slipping away from him. As like Roger just gets like more and more convinced that he gets his calling. It's so perfect.
It's also really funny how they can't have like alcohol in this.
Yeah.
So yeah. the party pictures, it's just like them like drinking like big bottles of soda and like pouring big bottles of soda into like champagne glasses and stuff.
Going back to the party scene, like I think the hardest to laugh upon this rewatch for me, because me and Victoria were like really cracking up at during that scene, was when Rowley starts like dancing,
mm-hmm.
and Roderick's like, I'm gonna kill that kid. And then Roderick's friend's like, no, you can't mess with a chubby kid, dude. The girls love him. And it's just like, it's, and he starts doing the like the conga line. It's just like so fucking stupid, but it's so funny. Like, especially like there's so many like little screenshots from that like camera montage that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like the one that I see on Twitter the most is like when it's like Rowley's stupid ass face in the middle and two girls are kissing his cheeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it's just like, it's so iconic. It's so Twitter like engraved, but it's so funny.
Yeah, I definitely like, I know that like there is that t-shirt company that I sent you, like the best friends t-shirt, like Bug Girl 200 or whatever her account is called,
right?
And she has like the super bad one also, like with the boys next to Greg and Rowley.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those like digital pictures from the party, like those were like made for like t-shirts.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I want them like framed in my house.
Yeah, and honestly, like that the scene where Frank like opens up the camera and he has to like go over it on the TV,
mm-hmm.
is so fucking funny. Like it's honestly, I forgot that scene happened because I thought it was just like the montage. I forgot that Frank actually, it's been a while since I've seen this one. I thought that after Susan and Greg like come to that understanding, which I think is a great scene where Susan like understands, like she catches him. But Greg, like, kind of, like, pleads with her. He's like, don't you more than anything want us to not fight?
Mm.
Like, just let me have this. Or he'll kill me. And you'll be mad. And you'll be miserable, too. And it's just
everybody's
so
been there at some point.
Yeah. And then it's also, like, another great bit is, like, when Susan is, she tells Greg not to lie. And then she has to, like, go outside in the rain to say, mm-hmm. so he can say she's not in the house in the moment. It's like, it's just like so many like little perfect moments like that. It's so funny.
The entire time I was just remembering, it's from the first one, right? When it's like, what do you need to say to women?
I'm sorry.
And woman. I'm sorry, women.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time.
I couldn't remember if it was this one or that one because I was kind of like low key waiting for it in like every mm-hmm. scene of this movie. But yeah, I guess it is in the first one. Because this one and the first one kind of blend together for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever rewatched the third one, and I think we should probably do it at some point because it is in the 2012, so it's in the cutoff year. But so I wouldn't mind rewatching it. I don't even remember disliking it. I just don't have as much of an affinity for it as this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like this one is just like, every single bit is so funny. I think everything with the retirement home, especially,
mm-hmm.
is just like
the old lady.
Well, I love the yeah, I mean the old lady thing that makes me cringe so much because like the way that scene is shot, it feels like an actual like horror sequence. Like the way that they're like grabbing him and like holding him down,
mm-hmm.
it's like actually disturbing. Like it's like I feel like sick just watching it.
Yeah.
But like this part that cracks me up in that is like when he when they go to like the grandpa's apartment and they're like, grandpa has a TV but he doesn't even have cable, he just watches the security cameras in the lobby. And then like Roger's like, grandpa, can we please watch something? And he's like, this is real life. Like, actors fake it, but these are real people.
And also like the game that they play, where it's like the worst, like the board game that they play,
Yeah.
where it's like not funny jokes, but
That was so the one
what's
that
it
he
called, like
reads.
Gut Buster or
Yeah,
something?
Godbusters. The one that he reads is like about like communism or something or capitalism, and it's just so funny. Like I remember like the question itself made me laugh. When he was reading it, because it's so out of pocket for a Wimpy Kid movie. But yeah, no, like that shit is so funny. But also like again, this one, it shows the heart of Roderick, but it also completely shows how much of a sociopath he is. Because it is like genuinely super fucked up to steal to do all that to your brother and then like basically bait him to go naked into like a lobby and then like record him and get like and then use that as like leverage and blackmail against him. Like it's like actually like genuinely a crazy thing to do. And yeah, no, it is super funny because like the bit where he's like in the ladies' room, it's so uncomfortable. Like the when the old lady's eye like peeks up like in
Oh,
between
that's
the
like
like
straight up horror.
it is.
I jumped.
Yeah, it's great. Like he's what do they call him? They're like streaker and pervert and shit.
They're
Like
like a peeping Tom, a
a
peeping
peep.
Tom. So I didn't realize it until I was reading through the cast list, that all of these old women have names. Their names are Mrs. Fierkowski, Mrs. Cabbage, Mrs. Evesham, Mrs. Tan, Mrs. Bingham, and Mrs. Anholtz. Old
Oh.
women in the ladies' room who think Greg is a peeping Tom. That's what they're listed in the cast listing.
Mrs. Cabbage is my favorite, I think.
Yeah. Tag yourself.
Just tag yourself, I'm Mrs. Cabbage.
Mrs. Evesham.
Yeah, it's super that scene always makes me like uncomfortable. Like and it's funny because like the beginning of the third book, if not mistaken, like they really kind of brush over all that. Like it's only like two or three pages, I think. If I'm remembering correctly. But this like wisely like kind of draws it out to like peak discomfort. Okay, so my only like CinemaSins thing with this movie, and it's like I genuinely am curious what the vibe is here. At the talent show at the end, me and Victoria were both questioning this when we were watching it. Where the fuck is Manny during the talent show? Did they just
Yeah.
hire a babysitter for him?
Manny just like disappears sometimes, and honestly, like, I think that that is not like a flaw, but
Yeah.
like, here I am saying, like, I don't like Manny in the movies because he's not the ugly, like, drawing. But I'm also like, he could be more present.
I think the way to get around that is they should have those tweets that come out every few months where it's like cast a Muppet movie but like have one human in it. And like let's have Manny be the only animated character in this movie and it's like just for no apparent reason like the animated Manny. And I think that would be perfect.
I agree.
But have the only words you can say are Bubby. Yeah. Yeah, so like the talent show happens and I like the everything with like loaded diaper is great. But before that is the Greg and Rowley bit where he if I'm remembering correctly, he Rowley has like a magician assistant that bails on him last minute. And Susan kind of pleads with Greg to like be there for his friend and let him do it and so they do the competition. The bit that makes me laugh is the one kid being like, it should have been me where it cuts back to them. It's so funny.
I almost just spit out water from laughing.
These kids are like actually funny. Like it's so hard to like find a kid like, let alone one kid, not even a set of kids, but like one kid that is actually good, let alone funny. Mm-hmm. These movies have an entire cast of children that are all excellent comedic performers. And that kid in that one scene where he says, "It should have been me," is like funnier than anything I've seen this year.
Yeah. I think like something that really like makes it like better and like believable is like, I feel like the only like famous person in these movies is Steve Zahn.
Yeah, basically. And even then it's like Steve Zahn, which like, yeah. no disrespect. Like I think he's, I've been a Steve Zahn fan since Daddy Daycare. You know, like I've been there since day one, but yeah, like it, I agree with that. He is pretty much the only, I wouldn't even call him an A-lister at that point, but whatever you would call him, he's the only recognizable guy.
Yeah, I feel like everyone was like cast for their personality, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like they're genuinely like very good.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone, so like, I mean, to walk it back a little bit, like I remember when it was announced that they were making a Darby Wimpy Kid movie, and everyone was so anxious about like the casting for it. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, in hindsight, like looking at like the animation, like going off your point about Manny, how do you cast these bitches? Like there's no like, there's no child, there's no like, no one looks like these bitches.
Yeah.
So at that point, yeah, you just do your own thing, I guess. Like, cause there's no like there's just no one. Mm-hmm. Which I think is largely the point. And I remember when the first one came out, or when it was coming out, they had like online casting auditions for it, because you mm-hmm. would like submit your own tape to like a Diary of a Wimpy Kid website, where you like, if I'm remembering correctly, like you could do whatever you wanted. You could just do the, because I believe what you had to film, because I watched like some of the auditions. You would do the opening monologue of the book, which mm-hmm. is like, "Hi, my name's Greg," and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, but then, like, if you also wanted to talk about, like, how much it meant to you, like, the books, like, you could also include that. And that's how, I guess, Zachary Gordon was cast. Like, he did exactly that, and he, like, immediately got chosen, because he had acting experience prior to the movie. But nothing like, you know, leading or anything. He's just kind of like a background actor
mm-hmm.
in a lot of movies. It does. I know that the guy who plays Roderick was doing movies before this, because he was in Saw 4 and 6.
Oh my god.
Did you see Saw 6?
I did not. No.
Okay. I won't spoil it. He's not.
Yeah,
like,
don't, because I'm gonna go through all of them.
Yeah, he's not. All I'll say is he's not like a victim per se. He's just like associated with like one of the victims. He's like a family. Yeah. But he is really good in that movie, though. He gives like an actually good performance in Saw 6. And I remember when he got cast as Roderick, I was. Admittedly, when I was stupid in like 12 and all the casting came out, I was like, that looks nothing like Greg. Mm-hmm. as like a dumbass. But I remember when he got cast as Roderick, I had like just seen Saw 6 and I was like, yeah. Like, I see that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Although also weirdly, I know when they announced Rowley, I just saw his face and I was like, yeah, that's Rowley.
Definitely. And his haircut too.
I did not realize that Manny was actually played by two twin brothers.
Really?
Yeah. Which I guess that's very common with like, you know, babies and stuff. So that makes sense. But yeah, like it is interesting that like the casting process for it, because like, yeah, there's no discernible like, you know, features to these characters, and so yeah, they do such good kind of go vibes and like actual talent, which I feel like went a long way in having these movies actually be as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes them actually like I don't know, stand the test of time, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely because, I don't know, it just feels so, like, real, and there's nothing that dates it.
No, not at all. I mean, even you said, like, the things that do date it are, like, mm-hmm. charming. Like, it's nothing, like, you know, like, annoying or, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not too much. It's just, like, it's just enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just enough to be appealing and, like, fun to watch. I love at the end when Susan becomes, like, the internet sensation, just based off her, like, dance.
The dancing,
her
yeah.
mom dance, which I think is really funny. If they were made it today, she'd be a TikTok dancer.
Exactly.
More like Daryl Woke Kid.
Hello.
that's satire. I just need to clarify that satire. But yeah, no, it's I do like how it wraps up. I mean, because again, it doesn't feel forced or anything, but like that little moment between like Greg and Roderick before he gets out of the van is like really nice. It does feel like they come to like a mutual understanding, but it doesn't feel like you know, like the best comparison I could describe is like, you know, at the end of like Yours, Mine, and Ours, when they just like instantly become like a like tight-knit family after beefing for an hour. And you know, that I mean, that movie's like plenty enjoyable and everything, but I just don't believe like that at all. This movie like has such a realistic depiction of it where it's like, it's not, you know, they're not going to be besties, they're not like, you know, it's not immediately, they're always gonna have like a kind of heated relationship because, you know, they're brothers, you know. But I like that it's just the best you're gonna get is just a mutual understanding where they're cool with each other, and I think that's like way more sincere and like nice. I think
I agree.
Yeah, and then I guess that's where it ends, right? Like they just drop off at school and it's like the end of seventh grade. We didn't bring up the fact that Patty does the fucking cat song.
Oh yeah, in like a weird like Sweet 16 dress.
Yeah, I you know what? Patty is that bitch, okay? She's doing it. She's doing it. She's going off. She's stealing what's her name's thunder from Cats. It's
Judi Dench. Oh no, wait, Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer
yeah.
Hudson? Yeah.
Yeah, no, she does that song.
Yeah, and she has like snot running down her face as she sings it.
I try to forget about that movie sometimes, but
I've only watched it once and I will never watch it again.
No, I don't think you could pay me to watch it. If you did, it would have to be a lot of money, but I would never willingly watch that ever again. Yeah. It was too painful the first time. But yeah, no, this is perfect. I mean, as far as Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies go, it's hard to imagine a better live action version of this. Like, this is like honestly as good as it gets. I would, like I said, be interested in covering the third movie at some point. Because I think
it's millennial though.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, our cutoff is 2012, and it came out summer 2012.
True.
So it came out this summer before I started high school. So yeah, I mean it was only barely a year after this one.
I think like it's just that I don't have experience with it, really.
Well, you know, I do. And also it'd be fun to close out the trilogy, I think, at some point. Not saying next week or anything, but at some All point right. we'll go to it. It's going to be the Return of the Jedi, the end game of the Wimpy Kids saga.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, any final thoughts on Roderick Rules?
My thoughts are Roderick Rules.
He does. He really does.
He really do be ruling.
He do be ruling, though. It's perfect. I think it's so funny. I love it so much. Do you think I would show this movie to my kids? This is one that, like, I'd just be like, this was a classic for your dad, for your old man. I'm like, this is how, this is what your life, this is what life used to be like, okay? As our, like, AI assistant, like, our AI overlords are outside. I'm like, this is what life used to be like before all this shit took over. And, yeah, I don't know. It just, it stands the test of time. It's super nice. Every time I watch it, I just, like, have the memories come back to me of, like, experiencing it when I was 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's just something really pleasant about it. So that's why I am curious if the third one holds up like this one does. So I guess we'll see whenever we cover it.
I can't believe the third one came out a year after this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was summer 2012. I think it was a mistake to release it in the summer, because I remember it was like a July release.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it came out like the week after The Dark Knight Rises. And I just remember, like, I remember liking it. Like, I remember thinking it was a fun movie. I just, like, remember so many movies were out around that time. Like, it came out the same summer as The Avengers, mm-hmm. Dark Knight Rises, Amazing Spider-Man, Prometheus, all that shit. You know what I mean?
What an insane, like, period of time.
Yeah, like, I just remember, like, when it came out, I just, I liked it, but there's just so many other movies happening around me that I couldn't really, like, digest it. But I remember, like, when this one came out, Roderick Rules, it was, like, March 2011, and I had only seen, like, two other movies that month or whatever.
Mm.
For reference, this movie came out the same month as Limitless, so...
So we're really just going in, like, chronological order here.
Yeah, the only other, like, Zillennial movie from that month is Rango. Or, no, also, Beastly.
Well, we can't cover Rango until Joe comes back on the pod, so...
There's so many, like, little movies, because Drew does have a monopoly on the pod, and Hunter did give me a few movies that he wanted to cover one day. But... Joe has monopoly on so many
Surf's Up.
I was trying to coordinate. Joe's currently in Europe right now, so he's tearing up right now in Europe. But so I'm waiting for him to get back. But he was trying to coordinate with me about potentially doing a summer episode for Surf's Up, which I think would be great, because that's a very summer vibe movie, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, Roderick Rules, it's goated, dare I say, with the sauce.
With so much sauce.
So much sauce. All right. Well, is that it, I guess?
I think so.
All right. Well, I think you guys can follow me on Twitter at Adam_NotSandler. Same on Letterboxd. My website, CineSoup. .com. I wrote a review for Challengers recently, which I got to see, and it's fantastic, so definitely check that out. I mean, I saw some other shit. Monkey Man's great, Civil War's not, so, you know, a bunch of reviews on there, go check it out. I guess that's it.
You can follow me on Twitter at Garlic Emoji. You can follow us on Twitter at Zillennial Canon, on Instagram at The Zillennial Canon. Give us some ratings and some reviews, and we will hopefully be back next week and not take another month-long hiatus.
Yeah, no, I think we're back in it, because we do that like every year, where we do like a little bit of one and then we come back swinging.
Yeah.
So I think we're good.
Yeah, we are so back.
All right, well, guys, just stay away from that cheese touch. Stay safe out there.
Bye, guys.